Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, that was how it sounded last night. Of course, McCutchen, one of the big Phil stars last night. McCutchen, obviously, Bamboo Brad with the homer, and Nola, who I thought also deserved, you know, I mean, given six innings, one run, probably the main guys. And Coonrod.
Coonrod, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Those four, I guess, four main reasons why the Phils won the game last night. Good to see McCutchen, John, get the swing going. Got to keep it going because he's coming from a big hole. But at least for a couple games now, some pickup.
You got to assume he's sort of figured it out. Like, he was trying to find his swing. He's there. I expect some, you know, sustain here. Because he is, even though he's not quite as quick as he once was, and he's still blundering at times in the outfield. Yeah. He's found where he needs to be at the plate.
Well,
Let's hope, right?
I'm not ready to feel confident yet. We'll
I tell you what, last night with Aaron Nola, I was so concerned that it was going to be one of those, and you don't see it too often with him, but like, you know, like a fourth inning exit, because he just can't put it together and figure it out. And with our bullpen situation, we didn't have the guys.
He
gutted that out.
Yes, he did.
And showed some grit, and I appreciate
all
that.
All right, Ray Dittinger with us. We're going to get Ray's thoughts on Girardi here coming up shortly, but a lot of Eagles football to talk to Ray about in this draft. No, Ray, let's get to the second round, and Landon Dickerson. Heard you with Angelo this week. You do not think it was the right pick for the Eagles, primarily because of the injuries. I know you love them when healthy.
Right.
So I guess two-part question here. The first is, where do you think it would have been best to take Dickerson? Meaning, is that 5 picks later? Is that 10 picks later? And then more importantly, who did you prefer? Who do you think Howie should have drafted at 37 instead of Landon Dickerson?
I would have taken Christian Barmore.
Yeah.
I would have taken Barmore because I had I saw the way he played in the playoffs. I mean, during the regular season, I had an interest in the kid because he was from Philly. He's from Newman Garetti, so I kind of knew who he was. And I saw.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. So and Alabama was on all the time. So I mean, every Saturday you turned and then Alabama was on. So I watched, and I watched him because they're a good team. But I also, when the defense was on the field, I had an interest in Barmore, and he was to give the other side of it. I mean, he was a bit of an in and outer. You know, I mean, there were some games he was terrific, and then there were some games that you hardly noticed him. Which I found troubling, because when he was good, he was so good. But then you got to the games at the end. You got to the SEC championship game, and then you got to the two playoff games, and he was the best defensive player on the field in every game. Notre Dame couldn't block him. Ohio State couldn't block him. I mean, they were double teaming him on every play, and he was just tossing guys. He was just tossing guys right and left, and demonstrating just a ferocious pass rush. I mean, he took over those games, both of them, on the defensive side. You know, Alabama this year, they were a great offensive team, but they were not a great defensive team this year. They were not a lights-out defense as they had been in the past. But they were in the postseason, and they were largely because of Barmore. And I just thought you know, the Eagles kind of told you the way this draft went that they had some, they felt like they needed some reinforcements on the defensive line. Absolutely. I mean, you saw they kept going back there and going back there and going back there. So that tells you that they didn't feel like they were settled there. And I felt at 37, they had a chance to get the best guy on the board. And it isn't something it isn't something I foresaw. You know, I mean, if going into the draft, if you had told me that Barmore was going to be there at 37, I would have said, you're crazy. I mean, there's no way he's going to make it out of the first round. Not after the way he played in the championship game, not after the way he played in the semifinals. But there he was. And, you know, that's kind of what you have to do in the draft. I mean, sometimes opportunities present themselves that you didn't expect. And and sometimes you have to go away from the plan and sort of, you know, say, hey, you know, we didn't expect this, but we got to talk about this.
Ray, when Dickerson is healthy, when he's right physically, how good is he?
He's very good. He's really good. He's really good. I mean, to me, there were two really elite centers in college football this year. I mean, it was Dickerson and it was Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. They were, to me, they were sort of off in a category all of their own. And between the two of them, you know, when Dickerson was playing, he was the best. I mean, he's a 6 foot, he's 6 feet six, he's 330 pounds, and he moves it. And he moves people. and he's real smart, and everything you heard about him, if you read about Alabama or followed them at all, was that he was kind of the leader and the conscience of that team. And the guys all rallied around him. The guys all respected him, which is really something when you consider he's a guy that came in from another school. He wasn't even a recruit there. I mean, he came in the last 2 years. He spent his first 3 years at Florida State, transfers in. It's rare that a guy can transfer in from another school, come into a program of the caliber of Alabama's, with that coaching staff, with that team, come in from the outside, come in from Florida State, and within 1 year take over that team. That's pretty extraordinary, you know. And Dickerson did that. So there's a lot to recommend there in terms of his leadership, which seems unchallenged, and his ability when he's playing, when he's really good. But man, you know, you've already, this guy has got two. He's had surgery on both knees and he's had surgery on both ankles. And, you know, and everybody's focusing on the knees. I'm actually more concerned about the ankle surgeries, because, I mean, you look at Lane Johnson. I mean, he's had ankle issues for 3 years and hasn't been the same player.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this is, you know, I know everybody has said that, you know, anybody can get hurt at any time, and that's true. And there's a risk-reward element to every player and every draft. That's true. But, you know, I remember Howie Roseman last year made a big point after the draft that, you know, we're not going to draft injured players anymore. We're not going to, you know, have had too many of those injuries. We're losing too many guys to injuries during the season. You know, the priorities that we're going to have now is we want players who are fast. We want players who love football. And we want players who don't get hurt. And now, you know, you draft the most injured lineman in college football.
Yeah.
That I had a problem with that, especially when you had an opportunity, I felt, there to get a player of the caliber of Barmore that could have come in, and you put him in the middle of your defensive line, and he would have helped you tremendously in that area.
Man, I'm so with you, Ray, and it's a shame. I hope only the best for him, obviously, and I love the way he plays, but I just think it's too big a risk. So a lot's been made of the third round war room discord, Ray. Well, what did you make of everything that went down with Tom Donahoe and Howie Roseman?
Well, I thought that it was I really thought it was about Aaron Robinson.
So did I, but then Howie divulged that they were only looking at D tackles there.
Right, right.
Which, I didn't believe that necessarily, but that's what he said.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe it either, to be honest with you. I mean, at that point, how could you not be looking at a corner?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, I mean, going into the draft, you said that your needs are, you need wide receiver. Hey, there were some people that were arguing that cornerback was a bigger need than wide receiver. Okay. Yeah. So now here you are in the third round. You still don't have one. And you mean to tell me you're in that room, you're not having a discussion about cornerback?
It's a great point.
I find that hard to believe.
I think it was a lie. I think it was a lie from Howie. And I it's very surprising. Well, let's talk about these D tackles, Ray. Milton Williams, Aleem McNeil. We're told that Donahoe wanted, I mean, we're to assume that he wanted the other guy. How do they compare?
Well, McNeil's a much bigger, he's a big wide body, 315, 320 pound guy, totally different player than Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Williams, he doesn't even look like a defensive tackle. I mean, he looks like a guy that should be playing on the edge. He doesn't look like a guy that's going to play inside. If you're thinking, and what makes me think that that's more the case is when they came back a couple rounds later and drafted the kid from Southern Cal, That's the kind of guy they were looking for. I mean, they're looking for a big body guy. So I do believe that McNeil may have been in the discussion, but to me, it made sense that you had to go get a cornerback. That was pretty obvious. And the fact was that Robinson was another player that had fallen way beyond where I thought anybody thought he was going to go. I mean, I had him as a high number two.
The UCF cornerback, Aaron Robinson.
Right.
Who went to the Giants when we traded out of that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he compare to Zach McPherson, the guy that we got?
I like McPherson. I do. I would take Robinson first. Mm-hmm. Robinson is... He projects as a slot guy, but I don't doubt that he could maybe play the boundary if he has to. Mm-hmm. He's 5'11", 190 pounds or so, good solid frame. He's not a little guy like Maddox, and he's not a skinny guy like some other defensive backs. I mean, he's got the sort of the thick frame and shoulders of a guy that can play inside, not afraid to come up and make a tackle. He's also got an Alabama pedigree. I mean, he started at Alabama and then transferred to CF. So mm-hmm. he's really good. And I thought of all the guys that I had seen coming into this draft that he played the inside as good or better than anybody, which is what made me think that, you know, that's why I thought, okay, here's a guy that you can draft right now, and he probably pretty much is going to be your slot guy. I would have felt real confident in that. You know, if they had come out of Friday night with Smith and Barmore and Robinson.
Yeah.
I would have thought, boy, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty good. You got the outstanding offensive player from the national championship game. You got the outstanding defensive player from the national championship game. And you've addressed cornerback with a guy that was, in my view, a second round value. So I think you had, in essence, in terms of value, I think you would have gotten a one and a two.
And that's the way it should have gone had it not gotten cute. I totally believe that. There are a lot of people who've called us, Ray, and said Howie tried to be the smartest guy in the room drafting the injured guy, and Christian Barmore is right there on the board, could have taken him.
Right.
And trading down for Milton Williams when Aaron Robinson was right there another time got a little too cutesy. I prefer the draft the way you just laid it out.
Yeah, I think that's where I would have gone. I'm not adverse to trading. Obviously, the trade that goes up and gets you Smith is a heck of a trade. I mean, that's exactly the way it's supposed to work. But I think Howie, and he's not alone in this, I think there are a lot of guys in his position that just love the wheeling and dealing aspect of it. And they get in these drafts, and you know, somebody dangles an extra sixth round pick and they almost can't help themselves. But is it worth moving down three spots and losing? Let's take them literally. Let's say McNeil is the guy they were looking at. That's who Tom was looking at. Okay, certainly draftable there, but so's Robinson. Is losing both of those guys, seeing both of those guys come off the board, worth having another pick in the sixth round when you already have 11 picks? I don't think so.
Ray Dittinger with us, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. We'll get to the rest of the draft with Ray coming up shortly. Bob right now in Bethany Beach. Hey, Bob.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Doing well,
we're
Bob.
Good.
Great. Just two quick Eagles things. First off, Smith, my hope is that he shows Rager how the stuff is to compete. I mean, I think
nothing like the rookie having to teach the older guy how to play.
Yeah, well, some guys grow up faster than others.
Yeah.
And if he sees them and shows how he needs to just – go crazy, I think we'll know. We might not even know in training camp. So the second thing is Dickerson. I'm with Baldy. I think this guy is a monster, and he got past his first ACL and was a monster after that. And I think I've had both ACLs, and they're better than they were before. That's not to say that that has anything to do with anything, but. You know, let's give him 6 months, and if he is really that much of a monster, I would be so hopeful for the Eagles. The last thing is my perfect.
Yeah.
Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley. You
That's
got
a
it.
Good answer. Bob, you know, I've had an ACL, PCL, LCL, and it is not better than it was before. It is not. Now, I was also 31.
Well, it was also
a long time ago too.
16
and it
years
was a long
ago.
Time ago.
Yeah, for
but
what
it,
that's worth.
But you can't always be assured that they'll come back fast. It is more likely that they will now. But man,
Ray,
it worries me.
Ray, not getting a corner into the fourth round. How big a problem for the 2021 Eagles do you think the outside corner opposite of Darius Slay is? I mean, who in the heck is going to be that player?
Good question. I don't know that they're done shopping right now. You know, I mean, they might have to make a trade. They might have to hope that they somebody has to cut somebody. But I think whoever's going to be starting at that other corner isn't here right now. I mean, I certainly don't see him on the roster.
So McPherson is not going to be able to play right away, you don't think?
Well, he'll compete for it. I don't know if he's ready for it just yet. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, of all the guys that were available right at that spot, I thought that he was probably the best in terms of what would be the best way of describing this in terms of his readiness to play. I think that he's probably closer to being ready to play, but I don't know that he is fully ready to play. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I mean, when he gets to training camp, we'll see how he deals with it. Mm-hmm. You know, they moved. One of the things I do like about him is at Texas Tech, they don't play a whole lot of defense in the Big 12. I mean, it's just not, you know, but the ball's in the air a lot out there. So he's gotten a lot of opportunity, and they had played a defense that was, by the standards of the Big 12, pretty complex. I mean, they played cover two, but they also played cover three. They played quarters. They played a lot of different things, and it put a lot of mental demands on the guys back there. And some of them looked like they were a little overwhelmed and couldn't handle it. And McPherson could. McPherson looked like, you know, that he was always seemed to be in the right place, and he kind of knew what he was doing, which suggests to me that he's a pretty coachable guy and a pretty smart guy. So given a fair chance, you know, maybe he can step into that role. I think, let's put it this way, I think he will have the opportunity. Because right now, I don't know that they've got a better answer there.
Yeah, they're definitely light at that position right now. To Greg in Northeast Philadelphia. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Joe, John, James. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Greg.
I want to talk about Girardi, if I could.
Yeah, go for it. He's been very disappointing.
Yeah, I think like when he had his introductory press conference, I think a lot of people like fully embraced him. And people were on board. The fan base.
100%. No question. People,
I don't know how they feel about him now.
Well, I'll tell you how I feel. I respect him. I like him as a person. I'm incredibly underwhelmed by what he's done as being the manager of the Phillies and disappointed in his tenureship so far. I expected a tremendous amount more. And I think what we saw last night is the latest in a series of either snafus or just mistakes that lead me to say, man, I thought we were getting a top five manager, and I don't know, this guy's even above – I don't think he's even an above average manager.
Yeah, because in my opinion, we were getting a proven winner, old school guy, maybe willing to check out the analytics, not – he's not Gabe Kapler, so that was like a quadruple.
I thought we were getting a tough dude who would drive players.
Yeah.
And instead, I don't sense it.
Was it the Yankees in the 10 years that he had a great bullpen, great players?
Yep.
Because right now, our bullpen, if they keep falling and failing and failing, who do you point the finger at? Our center fielders suck. I don't know how we don't have a center fielder yet.
Yeah.
We got three starting pitchers. And frankly, I think Eflin is actually playing better than Nola right now.
I wouldn't say that, but Eflin's been pretty good. Greg, give me something. Give me something that's perfect.
Wayne Gretzky. No one will or can ever catch any of his records, and no one has ever played perfect. Never perfect.
Right. He did turn that puck over that was St. Louis in '96 and caused him a series.
So look at his record.
How about that?
Joe.
Is that a deep cut? Is that a deep cut? Gretzky '96. You remember that, Greg?
Oh yeah, dude. I met Wayne Gretzky when I was playing for Archbishop Bryan High School.
That's
he
so
came
cool.
out to a fundraiser. It was
very
really
cool.
Nice.
I mean, I love Gretzky. He's obviously the best. He clearly isn't perfect because he actually called me on my cell phone one time. So if he was really perfect, he would know not to call me. I don't know what in the world he was thinking. But that was a random mistake from Gretzky in '96. I know, Ray. That was extremely random that I just thought of that.
I got a question for Ray. This is going back to our second round pick. Does does Dickerson fit what you think we're going to be doing from an offensive scheme? You know, a guy who's that big, let's say he does end up as our center. We are spoiled right now with the most athletic center in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If we continue to try to run this zone stuff and the stretch zone stuff, I don't see Dickerson as fitting that. But maybe I'm wrong. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what Nick's idea on offense is really going to be. I guess we'll see. The one thing, assuming that he brings even a portion of the Indianapolis playbook with him, or that what they were doing in Indianapolis reflects his kind of thinking, which to some degree it would have to. Mm-hmm. I think he's a coach that's going to value running the football. You know, I think that he's a guy that's going to want to run the football. Maybe not to the extent that the 49ers do, but I think that they're going to be running the ball more than they were under Doug, for sure. I don't know that Dickerson would be able to make some of the plays on the edges and downfield on the second level the way Kelce could, but very few guys can. You know, right. And Kelce's ability was, in many ways, he was a very unique kind of player. I don't know that you could have replicated him exactly. Mm-hmm. Dickerson is more in the mold, but he's a killer run blocker. I mean, when you watch their games, I mean, geez, I mean, he is really good. And you know, I feel my view of my tepid sort of feeling about the draft pick. I don't want people to construe that as me saying that he can't play, because he can. My concerns are really just about his health and his ability to make it through the season. I really think if he comes in and he's healthy, and there's even some question about how ready he's going to be to start training camp. We don't even really know that yet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he got hurt. I mean, he got hurt in January. It's not that, you know, and when his family, and when you saw the family cam, when he got drafted, everybody in the family jumped up out of their chairs before he did. So I think he's probably still in the rehab phase. So we'll see where he is physically when it starts. But if he's healthy, he's certainly not going to put Kelce on the bench this year. But he could very easily, to me, win one of the guard jobs. I mean, he can play guard, and he's, and if he's healthy, he's that good. It would not surprise me to see him beat out Amalo.
Oh, good.
This year.
Yeah.
That's great to hear.
I think that's if he comes in and he's ready to go right from the jump, he's that good a player. I could see him.
Amalo's weakness is his pass protection.
Right.
So this guy is better equipped to protect the quarterback than Amalo?
Yes, I think he is.
That's good.
Yeah, I think he is. People talk about the Eagles' offensive line, and they kind of say Amalo's. You know, they say he's like really a good player. I don't think so. I mean, I see him as he's kind of a he gets you by kind of player. Yeah. You know, he kind of fills the spot for now. But if I were the Eagles, I'd be looking to upgrade, and that could be part of what they're thinking was when they drafted Dickerson.
215-592-9494 to enter the conversation with Ray, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Up ahead, two big things we got to talk to Ray about. One, Joe Girardi. Ray's impression. Two, Aaron Rodgers. If you're Ray and you're the Eagles, are you trying to make a move for Aaron Rodgers? We'll discuss it all next. Shout out to Cameron, John Ritchie. Ray with us as well, 94 WIP.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.